Welcome to Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash, and I'm Building Bridges.
The battle for Oaxaca. In a scene reminiscent of other recent battles in Mexico, the police attempted to disrupt the Oaxaca teachers' strike in downtown Oaxaca City on Wednesday, June 14th. At 3 a.m., a police helicopter flew low over the 10th city, where 30,000 teachers and supporters have been camped for weeks, and shot canisters of tear gas. Meanwhile, 3,000 state police armed with riot shields and clubs entered the chaos and tore apart the roughshod shelters where the teachers had been staying. At roughly 10 a.m., the police retreated and the teachers retook the city center. Since Wednesday, both sides have been preparing for the next attack on the workers. On Friday, 400,000 marched to send a firm message against the repression by the governor. We have with us on the line
Amadilio Santos, Secretary of the Teachers Union of Oaxaca, Alexandra Halkin, Chiapas Media Project, and Jill Freiberg, Director of Grantito de Arena, a film on the teachers movement. I want to start with you, Alma, because you're a teacher, you're a secretary of the union. Why were 30,000 teachers there for so many weeks, almost a month now, in the square in Oaxaca?
It's been a fight for quite some time now, and every year the teachers do this manifestation here in El Zócalo. This year they're asking for various demands, some of them which are uniforms for the students and new buildings for the students, because some of these communities don't have any buildings, they don't have any utilities for the students, breakfast for the students, amongst other things. And that was the main reason that some of the main demands that the teachers were asking for. And one that became the biggest demand recently is the they want Ulises Ruiz, which is the governor of Oaxaca. They want him out.
It's gone on for a long time now. Why is the government so backward in terms of elementary educational demands being met?
In my point of view, what they tried to do this year was that they were trying to get the teachers for it to be this the last year of their demands, because every year this happens, but the demands are never met completely. They're always giving very diminute results to the demands that the teachers are asking for. They're asking for a raise for these. Some of the teachers get very low salaries, and I think that what, in my opinion, the government was trying to do at this time was completely stop it for the years to come.
I think the situation is extraordinarily frightening and unsettling, and maybe to give an idea of what happened most recently, I know that we have some sound, and maybe you can present that for us, Ken, so that we can understand what just happened and then work our way back.
The sound was given to us by Alexandra Halkin from the Chiapas Media Project, who was there at, Alexandra, what was it, 3:30 in the morning on last Wednesday?
I was in a hotel next to the teachers' union. I woke up at about 5 o'clock in the morning hearing sounds of things being smashed outside and people screaming, and I went to the window of the hotel room. And we looked out, I mean, we just cracked the windows, and we looked outside and we saw hundreds of police with batons basically smashing everything. They also had flashlights pointed up at the windows, so they were looking to see if people were watching as well. And this is about 5 o'clock in the morning.
Before we go to that, if you could describe some of the sounds we're going to hear, because it's a jumble of different sounds, different voices.
What you're going to hear is basically an edit that we put together on the 14th that was shot during the confrontation when the police started retreating and the teachers started retaking the center. You're going to hear a lot of tear gas canisters being fired. There was a lot of canisters that were fired from helicopters overhead, also from the ground, and people running and screaming and that kind of a thing.
And we're going to go to the tragedy of June 14th.
¡Se va a caer! ¡Va a caer! ¡Va a caer! Gracias, Felixon.
Well, I think we can get some sense of the chaos that ensued, the helicopters that were coming in. It sounds like shots were fired. But again, Alexandra, if you could set this up for us.
As I said, I was in a hotel right next door to the teachers' union, and one of the first acts of the police was to go in and dismantle the radio station that the teachers had there. So basically, we were right next door to really the first police actions. And basically, we were trapped in the hotel for about 5 hours while the teachers took back the center with the police shooting tear gas at them. There's a couple of things I wanted to clarify about the number of dead and wounded.
Please.
Today, there was a press release that had been written by different human rights organizations in Oaxaca and Guerrero with confirmations from the Red Cross in terms of wounded and people that have been hospitalized. What they are saying is that 192 people were treated that day in several hospitals. 53 people were hospitalized in two hospitals in Oaxaca City. 3 people remain hospitalized. 1 was transferred to another hospital because he had received gunshot wounds. But one thing that's really important is that there hasn't been any confirmed deaths. Okay, there's been a lot of information flying around about people that have been killed, but nothing has been confirmed yet.
Well, that's quite gratifying. The reports that I saw throughout the day kept escalating the number of dead, and that was quite overwhelming. So I'm disturbed by everything that happened, but at least gratified that there may not have been the deaths. You mentioned something that's quite striking. You talked about a radio station, and also I'm still not sure that we understand how remarkable it was that the center, what the nature of the center was and what prompted the occupation. Maybe we should bring in Jill, and Jill Freiberg, as we indicated, is the director of a film on the teachers' movement that was Grantito de Arena. And Jill, welcome.
Thank you. The radio station, Radio Plantón, is actually named after the encampment that the teachers have when they go out on strike. It's called a plantón. And that radio station started exactly a year ago when the teachers were out on strike last May, and I was actually a participant in the founding of the station when I was down there showing the film that I had just finished. And it very quickly became not just a teachers' radio station. They were providing the infrastructure for it, but really became a community radio station. And from what I've heard talking to my friends at the radio station, some of whom were arrested on the 14th but who are now out of jail, was that they were transmitting 24 hours a day throughout the strike, receiving hundreds of calls in support and solidarity with the teachers, and were transmitting basically up until the moment that the police entered their facility. And I've heard some audio from that where they were saying, you know, the tear gas has entered, you can hear them all coughing, and then they're saying, we can hear the police coming up the stairs, and they managed to stay on the air. And actually, I talked to them today, and they're on their way to being back on the air. And I think that that station actually had something to do with the huge outpouring of popular support that the teacher strike has gotten this year. I mean, when I was working on my film, I was down there filming on and off between 2002 and 2005, and the teachers did go out and strike every May, and each year was a little bit different. But I think that there's a lot of reasons that this year was so different and that the strike has gone on for so long.
You mentioned there were some reasons why this year was different. Why don't you expand on that?
I mean, I think that the election definitely plays into it. I think that the amount of popular support that the teachers have gotten, especially since the 14th, also has to do with the recent attack on the community of San Salvador Atenco in the state of Mexico, and before that, the attack on the striking mine workers in Michoacan, and this sort of attempt by certain candidates to create a climate of fear, provoke disorder, and then be able to stand up and say, look at what a good job we're doing at maintaining or reestablishing peace and order by smacking down on these various legitimate social uprisings. So I think that there was already this social tension that existed in the wake of the repression in Atenco. And I also think that in Oaxaca especially, there's so much dislike for the current governor, not just among the teachers, but among civil society in general in Oaxaca, that when civil society started seeing how this governor was sort of claiming to not have any resources for the teachers, when in the year that he's been governor, he's spent literally millions and millions of dollars on civic improvement projects like remodeling the Zocalo, the main square in the center of town, and redoing some parks, sort of the equivalent of building a stadium in a U.S. city. And he spent millions on that, and then he turns around and says that he has no money for public education. I think that also galvanized a lot of popular support that the teachers needed to really hold out and say, you know, we're going to stick this out come hell or high water.
We're used to pickets, we're used to demonstrations, but this seemed to be like a month-long encampment in the city center. Can you bring us up to speed on how that tactic started and also what happened after, what happened on Friday in terms of the demonstration?
It's a tactic that the teachers have used since the teachers' movement, which is not just in Oaxaca, it's a movement that is represented in various states, especially in southern Mexico, and a movement that officially started in 1979. But even before that, it was a tactic that teachers were using where they would occupy an area, whether it's an area in the city or a building, and then camp there, which means that that in itself becomes a pressure point when they're pressuring for negotiations because of the inconvenience that it creates when there's, you know, right now in Oaxaca it's some 50 blocks or at least before the 14th, I don't know what it's like now, but a huge part of the center of the city is a tent city, literally. But it also means that in a state like Oaxaca, which is very rugged terrain and a lot of the communities are very hard to get to, that when the teachers go out on strike, they all come to the city, not all of them at once, but in shifts, and sleep in the streets, which means that every morning they can get up and carry out actions, which they have been doing since the strike began, whether it be blockading the road to the airport or taking over the toll booths on the freeways and letting drivers through for free, or just marching. It means that they're there in the streets ready to mobilize, which gives their strike. It's not just that they're not in the classroom and the kids are missing classes. It means that every single day they're carrying out direct action, basically, and the encampment allows them to do that. And there was one thing I wanted to clarify, which was the numbers of teachers that are actually in the plantón vary, and are I'm not sure how many were actually in the encampment when the police arrived, but the number of teachers who are on strike in the state of Oaxaca is 70,000, not 30,000. It's basically, with the exception of a few communities, every teacher in the state of Oaxaca has been out on strike for 4 weeks.
This all seems to happen in the context of a governor who has been enormously repressive and cracked down. Tell us more about the nature of the PRI and the governor and how this fits into the repression that was initiated against the teachers, whom you said were 70,000 strong.
Well, the Oaxaca historically to this day is politically has been very dominated by the PRI. There have been a long string of very repressive governors who are always in alliance with the big landowners in the rural parts of the state and their interests. And in that way, they've been able to maintain, whether just through fear or coercion or the outright purchasing of votes, they've been able to maintain a strong presence of their party, the PRI, in the state of Oaxaca. And this governor is not necessarily dramatically more repressive in his tactics than the governors that preceded him, although he had hardly been in office, I think, 2 months before he orchestrated an attack on a local newspaper that wasn't particularly favorable to the PRI, and that also really caught a lot of people's attention. So I think that it's not, like, the fact that the teachers' strike this year was the brunt of so much repression doesn't necessarily signal that this particular governor is more repressive than the previous ones, but I think it has to do a lot with the national election context and the fact that the teachers' movement in this moment was galvanizing so much widespread popular support to bring the governor down.
So where do things go from here? I know that 400,000 people turned up on Friday to defend the teachers. What's happening right now? Are both sides digging in? Do you expect more governmental repression, Alex?
Well, I just actually saw, I guess it was in a local paper online, that they just broke off negotiations with the teachers and the federal government. Right now there's a truce. The governor is organizing a march in support of his policies, but I don't think there's, like, a clear logic to how things occur here. The way that the attack occurred last week was incredibly brutal. I had been living basically in the encampment because my hotel was in the encampment for the last 2.5 weeks, and, you know, there was nothing that the teachers were doing that was violent. There was absolutely nothing to provoke the brutal response of the state government.
Well, you say that, and we're told now, whether it's 70,000 or 80,000 teachers, 400,000 that come out and demonstrate, 3,500 federal riot police,
state
helicopters.
Police.
I'm sorry, what?
They were state police, not federal.
They were state police. Yeah. Well, I'm really glad we're correcting all of these. I've been reading a multiplicity of reports all weekend, and actually one which says that the Red Cross, which isn't from the Red Cross, but stated that the Red Cross issued a statement about 8 adults and 3 children killed. But whatever, which you're clarifying now, the specifics are, how do you think this affects the general elections that are going to be taking place in Mexico and the way certainly the PRI, Vicente Fox, have responded to the demands of the workers? You recently had the tragedy with the mine workers. There have been so many indicia of really backward policy to the workers of Mexico.
Well, I could chime in on that a little bit. I mean, I think, depending on who you ask, there's a multitude of theories circulating about how all of these separate, not separate events of repression are going to impact the election. I think it's important to point out that in all three cases, in all three states where the repression happened, all three political parties were involved. Not so much in Oaxaca, I'll get to that, but I mean, in Michoacan, the governor of Michoacan is from the PRD, and he called in his state police, and they were involved, as well as the federal police in that particular case. In the case of Atenco, the mayor who first called in the police is with the PRD. The governor is PRI, and the federal government is PAN. So all three parties, you could point the finger at all three of those. And in the case of Oaxaca, what happened is that, you know, a PRI governor calls in his police, and then all of a sudden the federal government, for the first time in years, I mean, I never saw this when I was making the film, the federal government is suddenly clamoring to negotiate with the teachers and coming in and saying that they'll mediate the negotiations and that they will see what they can do to meet the teachers' demands. And that is clearly not an attempt to really see that the teachers' salary and educational needs are met, but that the PAN comes out looking better than the PRI in the presidential polls. And there's just been so much finger-pointing about who sent in their forces to deal with which situation and who comes out looking better in the end.
And we are particularly fortunate to have with us also, as we mentioned earlier, Alma Dalea Santos, who's the secretary of the Teachers Union of the area. And what can we do here to support our sister and brother workers there? What are the most immediate needs, and what must happen for the future to assure that the efforts that you have engaged for so long are met for the workers and for the people that they service in the area?
I think some of the key points that a lot of people need to see what's going on is just information. I know that I've talked to a couple friends that I have in the U.S., in L.A., in New York, and they have no clue what's going on, not even here in Mexico. Like, you don't see any media reports on what's going on. Nobody really knows what's going on. The news kind of just reports it as there's a march, the teachers have had a confrontation, but nothing to the point of Atenco. When you saw the news of Atenco, you saw what was going on. You saw it live, and you got an idea of the destruction that was going on with these people. And here in Oaxaca, there has been no media on the subject about it, and especially in the U.S., and there's very little information about what's going on. For example, the differences in the numbers, you know, they fluctuate a lot. For example, the people that died, we have no people that have been confirmed, but that does not mean that there's no people dead. A lot of people went back to their communities, and we have no way to getting them to report back to us because they're already in their communities. But we don't have any confirmed people that have died. We have no confirmation of a lot of things, but it doesn't mean that it just didn't happen. It's pretty recent, and we can't bring out any numbers, any names as of yet, but you can say between pepper spray and the different types of gases they were throwing down, but there's no atrocity, there's no people that have passed away or anything. And just for people to inform themselves on what's really going on the movement, the ideals of the movement, and the demands that the teachers are really asking for, which are not demands that are completely out of the budget of the government, because there is money to fund these demands, I believe, yet the government is just placing different ideas on the media so it won't be covered.
And Alma, again, the demands of the teachers are, and how they relate to the students they service?
There's 17 demands. One of them, which we're just talking about, was the legalization of the radio station of Radio Plantón. That's one of the demands. Another demands are breakfast for the students, uniforms for the students, classroom and utilities for these students. These classrooms don't have tables or chairs or chalkboards. There's no pens. There's no pencils for these students. A lot of when you get there, they charge you specific things, like to just inscribe your student or whatever, and these are things that you shouldn't be charged for because it's a public education, it's supposed to be free, but it's really not. So some of the demands place on that.
And how can we keep in touch? Maybe we can even set up a radio transmission with Radio Plantón when it is reestablished. That would be enormously exciting. But specifically, Alma, how can we keep abreast of this and show our concern and our support?
There's a radio station that the students took over, Radio Universidad, where they are bringing in all the live. They do live all day, and there's updates on what's going on. And it is run by the teachers union. So it's, I think, 1400 AM, I think the frequency.
They're also, if I could just interject, they're also transmitting on the Internet. And I don't have that page, but you can link to it from the Indie Media Mexico site, which is mexico.indiemedia.org. And they have a link there to where you can listen to the radio station on the Internet.
Right. Okay, well. And there's also a link where a group of ONGs got together, and they're doing, it's educa.com.mx. No, educa.org.mx. And they have all the recent information, all the press releases that they're bringing in, and these are human rights organizations.
Okay, well, we'll do some homework, and maybe we can make some direct contact with the radio station. And
Could I just interject one other thing?
Yeah.
From being up here in the States while this was all happening, I just finished a year of distributing my film and had this huge network of school teachers around the U.S. who saw the film and learned something about the Mexican teachers movement, and I've been updating those people through my website, but more importantly, what we've been doing is calling for, more than anything, teachers, but other people as well, in the U.S. and other countries, to get out in the streets in solidarity, because what's happening to the teachers in Mexico, the level of repression may be unique to that particular place right now, but the policies are actually not unique to Mexico and are very linked to economic globalization and neoliberal policy and World Bank policy and NAFTA, and what the privatization and destabilization of public education in Mexico looks a lot like what's happening in the U.S., for example, and teachers need to show their support and solidarity for the teachers in Mexico. And there have been protests at the Mexican consulates in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco. I just came from one here at the Mexican consulate in Seattle, Vancouver, British Columbia, Toronto. So it's important that people in the States who are listening to this demonstrate their solidarity by actually getting out in the streets in support of the teachers in Mexico.
Absolutely. And by the way, Jill, Granito de Arena, where can people get a hold of and see this film, which is a specific film that has documented the work, the history, the activity of the teachers' movement?
The website for the film is corrugate.org, as in corrugated films. It's corrugate.org. So you can get information about the film, but I'm also doing daily updates in English, checking the news from Mexico and then translating it into English and doing daily updates about what's happening in Oaxaca right now. So that's also a place to find English coverage of what's happening.
Excellent. And Alexandra Halkin with the Chiapas Media Project, how do we stay in touch with you?
Well, right now I'm working in Oaxaca, and our website is not really linked to any of the events that are happening here right now. So basically, I would again suggest what Jill did is to check out Mexico Indie Media site, because we're doing work here that's getting put onto that site.
Well, we thank you for, one, clarifying important information, bringing this to our attention, and those teachers who are listening and anyone who is involved in the labor movement, we have to prod and provoke our own unions and sisters and brothers to come out and demonstrate their support for the courageous teachers, and we have to make sure that we try to hook up with Radio Plantón as it gets restarted. And I thank very much Alma Delea Santos, who's the secretary of the Teachers Union of Oaxaca, and Alexandra Halkin from the Chiapas Media Project, and Jill Freiberg, director of Granito de Arena, a film on the teachers' movement. We wish you luck. We will stay posted on these issues.
Thank you very much.
La Luta Continua. Stay strong, sisters.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And this has been Building Bridges of Community and Labor Report, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. And you can reach us at knash@igc.org. That's knash@igc.org.
Pues el pueblo ya está en contra, los rancheros y engreídos que acababan con la gente. Y como somos hermanos, la alegría compartimos con todos los campesinos. ¡Viva la revolución! ¡Viva nuestra asociación! ¡Viva huelga en general!